Have your Bibles this morning. 1 Peter excuse me, I said 1 Peter, 2 Peter. I want to draw your attention to the passage that was read this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse 12, he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Now, these things he's talking about are not Memorial Day Sunday. They're not things that we'd remember about our country, but in Romans 13, you'll find that we're to honor our country. We're to honor those leaders that are in our country. And I know that the Lord delights in honor is due. And this being a Memorial Day that we set aside, or at least tomorrow, that we set aside for those of our military that have made sacrifices, the sacrifice could be joining the military, serving. Boot camp is not fun. It's not a day at the park. Then not just that, but just having your life taken over for 4 years or for 2 years or for 6 years or whatever it might be, you are a servant of our country, and for that we ought to give thanks. I'll never forget, I've done several funeral services at Arlington Cemetery, and I've seen the full military honors of one that has their casket and remains brought in a horse-drawn wagon with military in front and the 21-gun salute. It's very sobering. But I don't think I've ever been as moved when I was down for a service early in the morning. I don't remember if it was 8 or 9. But the fog was just heavy hanging on Arlington Cemetery, and you couldn't see all of the grave markers. And we did the service, and as is normal, the trumpeter played taps. Wow. And then to watch the gentleman take the flag from off the casket and fold it up, as only they can do, bring it over to that mother and say, "I want to give you the thanks of a grateful nation." Nothing can take the place of that son or daughter. So the best that we can do is remember to say thank you. It's to remember the people that you know are serving to say, "Appreciate what you're doing. Thank you." 2005, Michael Murphy was on a hillside with his small team in Afghanistan doing a reconnaissance mission, and they were found out by the Taliban. As his group was pinned down and his radio man was shot, the radio was in an open spot and they couldn't get through. There was no help coming. And Michael Murphy took it upon himself to go into the open, get the radio, and stand and tell them his location so that they could get the only survivor left. As he took fire, was mortally wounded right there on that hillside to save one of his men. It's that kind of heroism that we must not forget. Or it's a Dakota Myers, both of these men whom won the Congressional Medal of Honor. As he was taking a group of elders to meet another village elders, and they were going to have a discussion about what to do with the Taliban, and they were ambushed by over 50 of the Taliban fighters, and 4 of his men were cut off. They couldn't find them. He made a trip up on a turreted machine gun tank of sorts, not quite a tank, but a military vehicle. And if you know, you're standing up on that turret and you're wide open, he was shot. And yet he kept till the machine gun was destroyed. Then he went back, got another vehicle. Over a period of 6 hours, he went back five times to get those men. For that, he received the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's heroism like that that we don't hear about, that we wouldn't know about. But we don't have people fighting in Florida or in Boston or in L.A. trying to take over our country because of the men and women that have fought elsewhere, because of the preparation that they have made. We have young men, graduates of our school, that are military pilots of F-16s, F-14s. We're very thankful that we can contribute a little bit, but that's not the same as those who have joined the military and have served. And so don't forget, the other day I was at Mission Barbecue. How many of you have eaten there? It's a new place. I was there at about 11:58, and all of a sudden over the microphone it says, "Now we're going to recognize our national anthem. Will you all stand?" And I looked through the whole place, and everybody there was like this, except one guy. You know, as Americans, there's always going to be people like that, but not let it be us. Always be grateful. Remember, Paul said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them." We know it. We know there's been a great sacrifice made. There have been hundreds of thousands that have been killed in Vietnam and Korea and enduring freedom and all over. Too many wars to name. But we cannot forget to say thank you. We cannot forget to look at that flag with respect and honor. We have allowed freedoms to go too far whenever you take the symbol of our freedom and want to destroy it as a right. It is important that those of us who know this present truth, that freedom is not free, that we always appreciate and be thankful to those men and women that have served and suffered for us. From time to time, visit the Walter Reed Hospital. If you go in there once, you'll always be thankful. You go into some of those hallways where those men and women have lost legs and arms or have been physically damaged for life, you just want to go up and say, "I just have one word, thank you. Just one thought, thank you. I can't do any more than that, but thank you." It's a small thing, but it's big if we can remember what people have done for us in the past. You'll notice in this passage, he says in verse 13, "I think it meet, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up." You know, that's when you have to stir somebody up, it's because they've sort of fallen asleep. And so you go over and rouse them up, you stir them up. "Hey, wake up!" It's important that we don't fall asleep on our freedoms or we'll lose them. Very easily done. It's important that you don't fall asleep on appreciation for people that have provided for you, moms and dads that have gone on before. How many of your parents are not here today? They've already passed away. Would you raise your hand? You know, we must not forget all that they provided for us. There's sacrifices made that you and I would never know. And the only way we can pass that appreciation on, remembrance is important to the Lord. It's important that you remember those loved ones that have done so much to provide for you. If you've received an inheritance, it is a lifetime of work given over to you. We ought not to just take that for granted. it ought to be something that we treasure and we remember and say, thank you. I remember what my parents did for me. Even today, our children, they don't know the definition of appreciation many times. Now, I'm thankful our children, for the most part, are different. But there are a lot of children around this, around America, that they expect things. And, you know, millennialism has hit all of us. We just expect things. I mean, we expect, I drive up and down Route 7, and they've taken two traffic lights off. And isn't that, how many of you drive up Route 7? Isn't it wonderful to drive up Route 7 now? A lot better. But how many of you notice one thing that's a problem on Route 7? One place. Anybody know where that is? Where are we not? One place on Route 7. There's one light left. Lexington Avenue. Lexington Boulevard. You're driving up and down. Why is it we don't just focus on all that's good about it? Why is it we pull up and have to stop at that one light and say, when are they going to get off that light? You know, all the good things about our homes, and you know, we've got food to eat, and how? Why is it we don't look at it and say, Lord, thank you for all you've given to me, rather than, you know, that refrigerator's not big enough. I don't know what the deal is. Or that microwave's not fast enough. And that's probably my weakness, I'll tell you that. You know, I fixed my oatmeal this morning, and I put it on there, and I figured out that if you get steel-cut oatmeal and you put just enough in this bowl and you turn it on the microwave for 42 seconds, it won't bubble out. It'll get right to the edge and stop. And then I take it, stir it, and put it back in there, and I'm sitting there watching it, you know. Man, come on. And the dog is right here waiting. You know, do I'm going to get some too? You know, we're both ungrateful. Come on, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I think we have to be careful that we don't take for granted. I've been many places around the world where they have to build a fire. They have to try to get it started. And they fix something that you and I probably would not eat. Grasshoppers they've caught. You and I have been given so much by our families that have been before us. How many of you grew up in a Christian home? You were told about the Lord Jesus as a child. Would you raise your hand? How many of you did not? Would you raise your hand? Okay. You know what? Those of us who did, we ought to be appreciative. We ought to be able to say, Lord, thank you. You know, America is a great country, and it's great because of the men and women that have died to set us free. The men and women that have taken those freedoms and multiplied them and given you and I opportunities. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run through my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed of the world. I am United States of America. I am the almost 400 million living souls and the spirit of millions who have lived and died before me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard around the world. I am Washington and Jefferson and Patrick Henry. I am John Paul Jones and Davy Crockett. I am Lee and Grant and Abe Lincoln. I am the Brooklyn Bridge and Wheatlands of Kansas and the Granite Hills of Vermont. I am Independence Hall, the Monitor and the Merrimack. I am big. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. I am millions of farms. I am forests, fields, mountains, and deserts. I'm a quiet village and cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia with a loaf of bread under his arm. You can see Bessie Ross and her needle work in the flag. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I am hundreds of thousands of schools and colleges, quarter million churches where people worship God. I'm a ballot dropped in the box. I'm the roar of a crowd in a stadium, the voice of a choir in church. I'm an editorial in a newspaper. I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Eli Whitney. I am Tom Edison. I'm Albert Einstein. I am D.L. Moody. I'm Will Rogers and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster. I'm Longfellow, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine. Yes, I'm the nation. And these are the things I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I will spend the rest of my days, because my people treasure it and appreciate it. May I always possess the courage, the strength, and the memory to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the world. I am the people of the United States of America. And those people came from Christians. People who said, I want to worship the Lord, and I'm willing to fight the elements to provide a place where my children can worship the Lord in freedom. Today, the greatest freedom we enjoy is not physical freedom, but it's spiritual freedom. Now, I want you to notice in this passage, he said, I want to always put you in remembrance. We forget the price of freedom. We forget the people who have pushed freedom down to us, our parents and family. We have forgotten, if we're not careful, the Prince of Freedom, Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you know what he's saying? In verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who obtained a like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot forget the Prince of Freedom. We cannot forget what Jesus Christ did for us. Notice what happens, if you would, in verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Lacketh what? Lacketh the Prince of Freedom in his heart. We lack the time in our life when we said, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I know you died for me. Will you forgive me of my sin and give me the freedom of eternal life in heaven? Everybody in this room has that privilege today. You're here in this room, you have the privilege, but if you're not careful, we'll forget that. We'll come to church and forget that church is not about choirs, and it's not about pianos, and it's not about people sitting and greeting one another. It's about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. It's about seeing the flag and realizing that it's not just the flag, it's the people that have died to make us free. It's seeing the cross and realize what Jesus did for you. It's easy for us to forget that and go buy a gold cross and put a few diamonds on it and hang it around our necks and say, you know, isn't that a beautiful piece of jewelry? But do you remember the one who paid for it? We'll forget it. It's our nature. It's our nature to let things slip. It's a spiritual nature to remember things. And I would just remind you today that you remember the Prince of Peace and what he did on Calvary. You remind yourself that some 2,000 years ago, not 300 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, but 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took off his regal robe of heaven, born in a manger. Unfathomable, the difference between sitting on the throne in heaven and being born in a manger. All because he wanted to pay your debt and mine. Unfathomable that a man would take 5 trips in to get 4 of his fellow soldiers, even while being shot. Unfathomable that he would come to the cross and he would look at the people he's dying for and say, Father, forgive them as they crucify him. Have we forgotten? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I never knew that. There are some people in America that don't know that Jesus died for them. And there are lots of people around the world that don't know that Jesus died for them. What will we do for them? Yes, we enjoy in this room, most of us in this room would enjoy the privilege of heaven one day. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, there's been a time in your life, a moment of time in your life when you realize you're a sinner and you went to Jesus Christ in your heart and said, Lord, would you save me and forgive me of my sin? I'm sorry for my sin. He'll give you a home in heaven and blot out your sin against your name, and you're free spiritually. And for the rest of your life, now you have two choices. You have the choice of forgetting what Jesus did for you or remembering and allowing it to change your life. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. What do you mean lacks those things? You haven't instilled in your life the things that would make you be a remembrance to other people. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you have a faith that'll take you all the way to heaven. It's an eternal faith. It's not based upon us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you pray and ask Jesus to save you, he does, and he takes care of it from there on. You and I may trip up and fall and say, Lord, I'm sorry, will forgive me. But it's not getting resaved, it's getting cleaned up as a child of God. And he said, look, I want you to do one other thing. I want you to add to your life. I want you to add to this faith you've gotten. If you've trusted me as your Savior, will you add some things that will make you different from the world? It will make you cause people to remember me. Notice what he says in verse 5. Beside this, add to your faith virtue, a purity, a holiness about your life, an integrity, knowledge, to know God's word. Do you read God's word? Do you add it to your heart? Do you take the laws of God and say, Lord, help me to remember this so the next time I face a decision of right or wrong, I'll know what you said for me to do. Knowledge. Notice what he says, temperance. The ability to be controlled under pressure. Temperance, self-control. And to temperance, patience. The ability to be patient with people. You see, that was Jesus Christ. Americans, of which I'm an example, are not patient people. Anybody that wants his microwave to hurry is not very patient. All of us in this room, there are impatience. There are times of impatience for all of us. We're impatient with our children. We're impatient with our wife, impatient with our husband, impatient with our boss. But you don't represent Christ when we are. Notice to patience, godliness. An ingredient that only God has, that we can have. But it makes us like him. It's a holiness. It really is a religious mindset toward the Lord. It is, Lord, I want to think and be like you. When I'm facing temptations of the world, I want to face them like you would have. That is godliness. When we make the right decisions. Brotherly kindness. I want to be good to those that are not good to me. You'll represent me when you do that. And the brotherly kindness, charity, love. I want you to love me first of all. He says in Luke and in Matthew and in John, I want you to love me first of all. He said, I want you to add that to your life. Now, you and I in this room, we have a choice to love whatever we want. God gave us that freedom when we got saved. You can love the world. You can love the things of the world. You can love vehicles. You can love houses and lands and jobs and money. Or you can love him. And he gives you the freedom to choose. And he says, I'm not going to send you to hell if you don't choose right. But I want to remind you, one of these days we're going to see each other. Notice in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You know what? You've forgotten that payday's coming one of these days, that one of these days you're going to see the Lord face to face. And then will he look at you and say, son, I'm proud of you, well done. Don't forget you're going to see him one day. Now your salvation doesn't depend on it. If it did, none of us would get to heaven. His salvation is eternal. I've given to you the gift of eternal life. That's what it is. But he said, look, I want you to represent me. Don't forget to represent me. Don't forget to add things to your life so that you look and act like me. Don't forget that one of these days, afar off, one day, I'm going to bring you to me. And I want to be proud of you. I want you to notice verse 9. It says one more thing we've forgotten. Not only blind. Now, blindness, this word blindness is not the word that the eyes don't work. That blindness may or may not be able to be fixed. But this is a blindness not of the eye, but of an obstruction between the eye and the object. The word to fly was smoke. So if smoke comes up, you can't see on the other side of the smoke. And that's this word. You're blind. You know what it is? Lust has come up between you and the Lord. Pride has come up between you and the Lord. And you cannot see when you stand before the Lord. Ambition has come between you and the Lord. And you've got all these goals and dreams that you want to accomplish for your life. And you have not said, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? You've forgotten that you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That he saves you to represent him. He loves you. But he won't make you do it. It's a choice. You know what? You can't make somebody be free. They have to want it. But there comes a price to freedom. And there comes a price to holiness. There comes a price to being like Christ. You have to say, Lord, get rid of the smoke in front of me. Help me to see that one of these days I'm going to see you. You know, when I was in school, I remember I was going back to get married, and I was so excited about it. And we would have at school like a Sadie Hawkins Day. You know, you'd ask the girls, would ask the guys out to a steak dinner or an activity, or the guys would ask the girls at college, and that's the way they did at our school, and I remember that, and whenever it would come to a day when the girls would ask the guys that, I'd have someone ask me out, and I'd say, no, I'm getting married next month or next year. I'm getting married. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not willing to go with you. And, you know, I had somebody come say, well, why don't you just go and have fun with them? I said, are you crazy? I've got to see my fiance one of these days. I don't want to look at her and say, well, I was engaged to you, and I'm looking forward to getting married, but I wanted to have some more fun over here. I couldn't in good conscience do that. But we do it to the Lord Jesus all the time. Lord, I know one of these days, as the church of Christ, we'll be married to you for all eternity. We'll look forward to seeing you in heaven. But since I'm not there yet, I really want to do some things here. And we forget that we're a child of God. And so Paul said, look, I want to remind you and put you in remembrance. I want you to notice what he said in verse number 9. And this is the worst part. He said, and hath forgotten, the last part of verse 9, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You've forgotten the price of your freedom. It's not as easy to forget the price of your freedom when you go in the halls of the Pentagon and you go down to the area of all of the Congressional Medal of Honor winners. It's not as easy to forget that. It's not as easy when you walk through Arlington Cemetery and you see white cross after white cross, and your children say, Mom and Dad, what do all those represent? What all those things mean? What are those things? Well, each one of those represents somebody that died so that you could eat your cereal in the morning without fear. Each one of those crosses represents somebody that died so you could go to church next Sunday with your Bible under your arm and not be shot. But every time you come to church and you see that, remember, the price for heaven was the Son of God. It was the highest price for anything ever bought in history. You've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Don't forget it. Don't take your Christianity lightly. The price was too great. That is why it makes no sense to me to burn a flag when people died to hold the flag up in war. It would make no sense to burn the cross, because that's where our freedom was purchased. Today, have you forgotten to live for Christ? Have you forgotten to love Christ? Paul, verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease. You know, all of us are going to die unless the Lord comes back to get us in the rapture. And I'm closer to the end than the beginning. I know you find that hard to believe, but that's the truth. And I look here, and you know, I'm thankful I'm not in verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. The Lord hadn't told me when I'm dying yet. I'm very thankful for that. But he told Paul, said, Paul, you don't have much time left, and I'm going to bring you to heaven. And he said, so I got to get the message out. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget the price that Jesus paid for you. Don't forget you were purged from your old sins. Don't forget that Jesus loves you. And don't forget he asked you to add things to your life so you could represent him well. I'm reminded. I had a relative that was in Vietnam, a friend that was in Vietnam, that our family friend, and he was in the Green Beret, and he was in Vietnam in a particular area where there was severe fighting, and he went up to the board that they would post various trips or various things that need to be done, various raids that need to be made. And there was one that was posted and no one would take it. And they said, it's very possible you won't come back. And he signed up for the trip along with, I don't know how many other guys, 8 or 10 other guys, Green Beret. And they were going behind enemy lines to do some reconnaissance. And they were dropped instead right in the middle of the enemy. And as they're coming down in their parachutes, they're shooting them, and some of them are dead. He had bullets up through his arms. They fell in the high grass, and he had to make a decision. Do I want to live or not? So all night long, he'd pull a hand grenade with the arm that was workable, pull the pin and throw it in a different direction so the enemy could not tell where they were, waiting for someone to come get him. He received some of the highest honors that you can get as he kept them off of all of his men. And I'll never forget when he came back, I was a young boy, and I saw him, and I looked up to him. I said, wow, that's a hero. I haven't forgotten what he did for me. And his body was forever different for me. Do you realize what Jesus did for you? And his body will forever be different. When we step foot inside heaven, we'll see the scars that we put there. The only man-made thing in heaven will remember that he purged our sins. But it'll be too late to do anything for him. Today, have you forgotten the love of Christ by the way you treat people? Have you forgotten the love of Christ by the way you treat your mate? Have you forgotten the love of Christ by the way you treat Christ? Lord, I know there's some smoke between me and you, but I've got things I want to do. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see or far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Today, have you remembered what Christ did for you? Maybe you're here today and you think back and say, you know, I never trusted Christ. I've never done that. I can't remember what I did. Trust him this morning. Today is a day of remembrance. Let's do that today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. I'll ask the pianist to play a verse of page 428, Nothing Between. We're free here because of a select group of men and women that have paid the ultimate sacrifice and have made many sacrifices. Don't forget that. But we're here today because Jesus paid our debt of sin. Let's not forget that. Maybe here today, you haven't lived right this week as though Jesus had given his all for you. Not only have we not given our all back to him, we haven't given part of our all. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand or sing. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say thank you to, in your heart, to the Lord Jesus. That wouldn't be bad if anybody in this room did that. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Would you come to me this morning? I'll help you get it settled for all eternity. You can walk out of this building knowing you're on your way to heaven. Hey, the debt's already paid. Why don't you apply it to your account? It's real simple, but it makes an eternal difference. You can see that with a thief on the cross. Maybe you're here today and you haven't remembered all the goodness of your loved one, husband or wife, brother or sister. Why don't you come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, help me to remember better. Help me not to forget. Help me to be more appreciative. Lord Jesus, will you speak to our hearts this morning? I thank you for what Peter wrote about all that was prepared for him. Lord, he knew he was dying. He knew it wasn't long. And he wanted to put people in remembrance. I ask that you would put people in remembrance today. Remembrance of the people that have paid for their freedom. Remembrance for the people who have pushed forth their freedom. Moms and dads and brothers and sisters. And the person who's paid for their freedom. Father, would you help us to remember today? Help this to be a sweet time between you and us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.